Well, that's right. Now, State Representative Katrina Shankland, a long night.
Yes,
a lot accomplished, but I'm guessing you're not real happy with some of the things that were accomplished. Am I right?
Well, it's the last day of session, presumably, for the Assembly, and I think we should be working until June. We have a lot more to do, and the bills prioritized today, unfortunately, are not in line with what my constituents are telling me we need to be prioritizing.
What types of things are you hearing should be at the top of the do list and didn't make it today?
Creating jobs and growing our economy, strengthening small businesses, and making sure that people have a fair wage. Those are all things I've heard a lot of from people that we should focus on, and unfortunately, I don't see a single jobs bill on the calendar on which we're voting today, other than the Democratic bills that we're pulling on the floor right now to get votes on because they were ignored by the Republicans, unfortunately, this legislative session.
One of the issues I know you and some of your colleagues have talked about a lot is making voucher schools accountable. I understood that one of the bills passed yesterday requiring them to keep accreditation, but is that just a good start, or do you think that's a good step in bringing the voucher schools within guidelines?
Well, I'll say that, you know, when that bill passed, Republicans immediately started beating the drum about how great it is that they're focusing on voucher school accountability. And what I have to say to that is, if it's so great, then why can't you hold voucher schools to the same standard as our public schools? Every single teacher in the voucher school should get a background check, a criminal background check. Every single state voucher school that takes state money should have to comply with open records laws and open meetings laws. And every single voucher school that takes a student with a disability should not be able to discriminate that student and should have to comply with the federal legislation that supports students with disabilities. So I'm not willing to give too much credit for this bill because it's such a baby step and is so little in comparison to what's been done to our public schools and how much more work we have to do to create a true accountability system for the voucher schools that are taking taxpayer money.
With the session just about wrapped up, what would you say is the best thing to get through this assembly, and what are you most disappointed with?
Well, I will say, you know, we have several different bills tonight that essentially are focusing on voter suppression and limiting the right to vote. And that includes, you know, bills that will essentially make it much more difficult for people who are elderly, people with disabilities, to have access to the polls. That is frankly incredibly disappointing at a time when we're 35th in the nation and we're focusing on, I should say Republicans are focusing on limiting the right to vote. It seems that they're so much more focused on protecting their jobs than they are about protecting the right to vote for their constituents. I haven't seen a single jobs bill tonight again, and so I think the attacks on our voters while also increasing money in politics are truly disappointing to the people of our state who deserve so much better than this.
Looking ahead to the next session, what do you think is going to be the number one, two, and three issues, and what bills might you be bringing in?
I think we're going to need to address voucher accountability. We're going to have, you know, we've seen tremendous cuts to our public schools in the last 3 years, and we've heard over and over again from our constituents in our communities, from our public school superintendents and administrators, from parents, from teachers, from students, that we need to invest in our communities. And we can start doing that by funding public schools, universities, and technical colleges, all of which have been cut by Republicans. I think education is going to be a huge issue. I think we're going to bring up, you know, voting rights, and we want to empower voters, so that's going to come up again. And of course, finally, as I've mentioned over and over again, we need a real jobs plan. We need family-supporting, well-paying jobs with fair wages. That's what our constituents are demanding. So when we come back next year, I think that's going to be the focus.
You mentioned the jobs and the wages. We hear one side say that a minimum wage hike is a good thing. We hear the other side say, no, wait a minute, that's not a good thing, because if the business can't afford those minimum wages, people lose jobs. Where do you stand?
Well, I support the minimum wage and increase, and I am a co-sponsor of the 10-10 minimum wage increase bill. It's important to know that over 2 years, the bill would be raised to 10-10. Immediately, it would be raised to 8-10. So I think that's a fair vantage point. If you look at some of the CEOs in Wisconsin, like Craig Culver, they, too, support a minimum wage increase. They recognize the value of limiting employee turnover and prioritizing their employees. I also think, you know, when you give the middle class greater purchasing power, and the people who are working, you know, working poor right now, greater purchasing power, they're putting more money in their pockets, they're going to spend more money at their local businesses. And that will, in turn, circulate a lot more money into our economy and create jobs over time.
And you believe that doing that will actually bring the money back to the businesses so they can actually afford those wages.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe that.
Anything you'd like to add today?
Well, I'll just say, you know, we're ending, it's not even April yet. We are ending session so early, and this is really a historic time for the State Assembly because, in my opinion, the majority leadership that chose to adjourn instead of working through June like we should be doing, this is really an abdication of duty. This is a failure of leadership. Wisconsin is 35th in the nation in jobs. We are 9 out of 10 Midwest states in job growth. We have more work to do. Let's continue working. I stand ready to work with anyone. We have so many bills we need to pass yet. So I think that, you know, instead of all going off, it seems like Republicans want to start campaigning early. We have so much more work to do. Let's continue to meet. Let's continue to have session. Instead of staying up all night passing these dreadful bills in the middle of the night, let's get to work for our constituents.
There's likely to be a special session if the governor doesn't see what he's looking for in this session. I would imagine that you might have mixed feelings on because you may not see the bills you were looking for.
So the only special session Governor Walker has said he will call is a special session on the voter ID law. Now, it's important to know the voter ID law of Wisconsin is the most restrictive law in the nation. That's why it's currently enjoined, held up, frozen by the Supreme Court. And looking at the Supreme Court oral arguments, it seems like many of the justices were very concerned about the poll tax that this voter ID law entails. So I would be very surprised if the Supreme Court did not immediately declare it constitutional within the next few months. And if that happens, Governor Walker said he's going to call a special session to pass a different voter ID law. Here is my question. Why won't he call a special session on jobs? Where are the 250,000 jobs? Why are we 35th in the nation? So yes, I will be very disappointed if we have to convene for a special session to basically suppress the vote and limit voting access, because we should be calling a special session for jobs.
Should you call a special session for jobs? What types of things can the legislature do to actually create jobs?
So I actually have a bill that would help create jobs in renewable energy. We just pulled a bill tonight that would create nanotechnology jobs. We have an angel investment bill that would create jobs for small businesses and venture capital. We have a $100 million venture capital bill. Democrats have so many ideas that haven't even gotten hearings yet because Republicans have chosen to play politics with families and business owners who desperately need some jobs. And desperately need us to sit down and work together across the aisle. So those are just some examples of the jobs bills that we have. Those are just some examples, but, you know, from anything from, we have some agriculture bills that would create jobs, some business, small business bills that would create jobs, including, venture capital and angel investment bills, and then, of course, the energy bills. So there's so many different ideas on the table. We just wanted those bills to get execed out of committee and heard on the floor. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but we could do that in special session.